The Iran's head of the Atomic Energy Organization says Bushehr nuclear power plant is undergoing safety checks. Iran's deputy foreign minister says Washington's offer for talks with Tehran lacks honesty. Russian FM points out that arming militants in Syria breaches international law. French private sector loses 100,000 jobs in 2012. And bomb attack killed Afghan speaker's father and brother. Jobs in 2012. And bomb attack killed Afghan speaker's father and brother. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to this edition of Iran and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran says Bushehr nuclear power plant is undergoing safety checks to become ready for transfer to Iran's full control. Fayzun Abbasi said Bushehr nuclear power plant should undergo a series of tests before the temporary control of the plant could be taken over from Russians. Abbasi explained that Bushehr nuclear power plant should operate for 7,000 to 8,000 hours before the full control can be handed over to Iranian specialists. He noted that technical tests must be properly conducted so that Iran's Atomic Energy Organization could ascertain the safety of the power plant. Abbasi further said interruption in activities of the plant is normal, as the facility is currently in a pilot phase. Iran and Russia have assured the international community that the plant is fully compliant with high-level safety standards and IAEA safeguards. Iran's deputy foreign minister for Arab and African Affairs has dismissed Washington's honesty in its offer for talks with Tehran, saying the U.S. is not seeking to find a solution to the ongoing problems. Hossein Amir Abdullahian said if Americans are really after finding a solution, it should be evident in their practical behavior. The Iranian official stressed that the U.S. administration is just trying to offset its failure in the Middle East. Amir Abdullahian concluded that by any bilateral talks require some condition, from which the most important ones are mutual respect and honesty. Russian foreign minister says arming foreign-backed militants fighting against the Syrian government is in violation of international law. During a joint news conference with British counterpart William Hague in London, Sergei Lavrov said arming the opposition is in breach of international law. Lavrov pointed out that international law does not allow supplies of arms to non-governmental actors, and Russia believes it is a violation of international law. The Russian foreign minister reiterated that it is only up to Syrians to decide the future of their nation. He also rejected any chance of Moscow pressuring Syrian President Bashar al-Assad into stepping down. Lavrov made the remarks one day after British Prime Minister David Cameron said London would mull ignoring a European Union arms embargo on armed groups fighting against Damascus and supply weapons to them. Meantime, UN High Commissioner for Refugees Antonio Guterres called for stronger humanitarian assistance from the international community for the crisis in Syria. He said the number of refugees outside Syria could triple by the end of the year from the current 1 million if there is no resolution to the conflict. Guterres said more than 400,000 Syrian refugees have fled Syria since January 1st. Around half of the refugees are children, most of them under 11 years old.
This is a crisis that requires special measures, special funds, special mechanisms of support. And my appeal is for governments and parliaments around the world to establish them. If that doesn't happen, with the normal humanitarian aid budgets, we will not be able to deliver when one looks at the staggering increase of the humanitarian impact of the crisis.
Meanwhile, Lebanon's Prime Minister Najib Mikati says international and Arab donors must help provide assistance to aid agencies helping Syrian refugees in Lebanon.
We don't know how long the Syria crisis is going to last, and we don't know how long these guests will stay. We are taking all this into consideration and trying to find solutions. We are calling on the international donors to help Lebanon. Lebanon is one of the countries which carried the biggest burden of this issue. We are not asking for this aid to be given directly to the Lebanese government. We are asking that these donor countries help the aid agencies working in Lebanon to do their job the best possible way.
Several hundred mourners marched in a funeral procession on Wednesday for a 25-year-old Palestinian killed by Zionist troops in the occupied West Bank. The incident on Tuesday in Fawar caused tensions ahead of a visit by U.S. President Barack Obama next week that has been billed as a bid to encourage new peacemaking. Witnesses said Zionist soldiers raided Fawar and opened fire before coming under a barrage of rocks from local Palestinians. Hospital officials said a 25-year-old man died after being shot in the head.
I was filming from probably 100 meters away from the army jeeps. At a distance of 100 meters, a stone cannot reach. Logically, it cannot reach if you're that far away. A sniper soldier shot me using only one bullet. And before Mohammed died, they had started targeting the shops. The shopkeepers closed the shops themselves, but the army were shooting.
Now here's another look at tonight's top stories. Iran's head of Atomic Energy Organization says Bushehr nuclear power plant is undergoing safety checks. Iran's deputy foreign minister says Washington's offer for talks with Tehran lacks honesty. Russian Ethan points out that arming militants in Syria breaches international law. French private sector loses 100,000 jobs in 2012. And bomb attack kills Afghan speaker's father and brother. Despite all efforts to upright the economic crisis in Portugal, the country continues to be one of the Eurozone member states with the lowest minimum wages. My colleague from Lisbon tells you the story.
Portugal continues to be the country in the Eurozone with the lowest minimum wage, 565 euro per month, or 485 after tax cuts. There are thousands of stories of precarious and insecure jobs. Both the unions and employer confederations agree minimum salary should have been increased and meet the other European wages.
Even after Greece had reduced twice the minimum wage, it is still 100 euros higher than in Portugal. Also, a few days ago, the Portuguese Prime Minister has said that there is the possibility of cutting this minimum wage. Inês Subtil, Shabaka Kabar, Lisbon.
Meantime, tornadoes caused by global warming had been frequently happening in different countries around the world every month. Portugal is one of those countries challenging with the phenomenon. My colleague has a story.
Scientists claim emissions of greenhouse gases contribute for global warming and climate change. These pictures show a tornado that happened in Portugal. Phenomena like this are becoming more and more common. The Portuguese environmental organization Quercus has required a more restricted European regulation to prevent greenhouse gases resulting from air conditioning. The fluorinated gases, or hydrofluorocarbonates, are super greenhouse gases that have a global warming potential hundreds of thousands of times higher than carbon dioxide. In Portugal, the emission of these gases has increased by almost 20 times in 15 years.
It is estimated that these gases contribute with 2% for the greenhouse effect. It doesn't seem much, but if we think about the amount of houses in Europe with at least one fridge or one air-conditioned device, we can see the impact this new regulation can have. Inês Subtil, Shabaka Kabar, Lisbon.
Members of the Greek Civil Servants Confederation gathered in central Athens to demonstrate against cutbacks in the public sector. The protest was held to coincide with talks between Prime Minister Antonios Samaras and inspectors from Greece's rescue lenders, the European Union, European Central Bank, and International Monetary Fund, known as the Troika. The talks were due to be held on Tuesday, but were postponed by one day after hours of negotiations involving members of Samaras' cabinet over tax collection difficulties and promised reductions in public sector staff.
Today's gathering by public sector employees is a struggle against the dismantling of public services and the welfare state. Specifically, we are struggling against the collapse of public hospitals, universities, and schools.
People working in the public sector are sending a message to the Troika representatives who are here today, and they say to them that their demand to shrink the public sector and fire people is absolutely unjust and impossible.
A new report says France lost nearly 100,000 private sector jobs last year as a result of a sluggish economy and persistent unemployment. The National Institute for Statistics and Economic Studies said the economic crisis has contributed to massive job cuts, and another 75,000 people are likely to lose their jobs in the first quarter of this year. According to the reports, so French unemployment rose to 10.6% in the fourth quarter of 2012, hitting a 14-year high and seeing an increase of 0.3% from the third quarter. The report said a whopping 25% of 15 to 24-year-olds were unemployed, making them the worst-hit group. It is estimated that reversing the unemployment rate will require adding 30 to 40,000 new jobs every 3 months. French President François Hollande said last month that the government would not be able to meet the promised unemployment target this year. French data analyst firm Terrandio recently revealed that the country has closed more than 1,000 factories since 2009. With the auto industry and pharmaceutical companies suffering the heaviest losses. Now, the father and brother of Afghan Parliament Speaker, in addition to a local police official, have been killed in an attack in Afghanistan's Kunduz province. The attack took place on Wednesday in the Imam Sahib district after a bomber detonated his explosive vest in a crowd watching the traditional Afghan sport known as Buzkashi. Reports say several other people were injured in the attack. The provincial police chief, Syed Sarwar Husseini, also confirmed the attack. No group has yet claimed responsibility for the attack, but officials put the blame on Taliban militants who have carried out similar assaults in the past. Meantime, at least 6 Afghan kids were killed and 5 others injured when a piece of unexploded ordnance went off in Afghanistan's Baghlan province. Reports say the children aged 4 to 14 were playing with explosive devices left over from fighting in the area. Elsewhere, a roadside bomb explosion injured at least 2 U.S.-led troops in the southern province of Helmand. Further details regarding the nationality of the injured troopers have not been released. In fresh shooting incidents in the United States, at least 4 people have died and 2 others have been wounded in 2 shootings in New York, and authorities are searching for the gunman. Investigators said they are still searching for Kurt Mayers, the alleged gunman accused of the shooting spree in upstate New York. Mayers is suspected of shooting dead 2 people at a car wash in the village of Herkimer, 2 others at a barbershop in the village of Mohawk, and entering 2 more people during the early morning spree. Police also believe the suspect set fire to his home in Mohawk. Schools in the area have been placed on lockdown due to the shootings. This comes as over 2,600 people have been killed in gun-related events in the United States since December 14, 2012. Every year, more than 30,000 people are shot and killed in the United States. Argentine Jorge Bergoglio was elected as the new pope and chose the papal name Francis, becoming first pontiff from the Americas and the first from outside Europe in more than a millennium. The 76-year-old Archbishop of Buenos Aires has spent nearly his entire career at home in Argentina. Francis was chosen in one of the fastest conclaves in years following the upheaval unleashed by Pope Benedict XVI's surprise resignation. And finally, the World Health Organization, WHO, has warned that if European governments imply austerity cuts on healthcare, gains in life expectancy could be retreated. WHO's European Health Report showed great variations between countries regarding the average ages, which reached 17 years in men and 12 in women. The report went on to say the current financial crisis and potential cuts of health budgets could jeopardize the achieved growth. It said a scenario threatening the European region's overall sustained gains in life expectancy may occur if economic or social crises are coupled with reductions in spending on health and other services. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of iRyan in English News. Join us with the latest updates tomorrow. Goodbye now.